Good morning, church members. Come on, say it. Good morning, church members. You know that Reverend Meadows is not with us this morning, but he sent one that's going to bring the message to us today. The person that's coming, you'll hear about this in a few minutes, but this is our Alabama State University individual that's coming to us this morning. He was running a little bit late. We are going to start momentarily. We delight in your presence this morning. Get ready to get your praise on.
From Rosa Parks Avenue Church of God, and I ask that you would join me this morning for our opening invocation. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks. Father, we first worship you just for being God. We worship you just for being the great I am. We worship you for being Jehovah Jireh. We worship you for being Jehovah Nisi. We worship you for being Jehovah Shalom. God, we just worship you this morning. And Father, after we worship you, we praise you. We praise you for waking us up. We praise you for starting us on our way. We praise you for letting us be in our right minds this morning to come to the house of the Lord and give you praise. Father, we ask that you would continue to bless this service. We ask that you would continue to move in this house. And Father, we ask that you would just continue to have your way in each and every one of our lives. And we promise to forever give your name praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning again, church. It's cold outside, but that didn't keep us from coming inside. And we're all glad to be at his house. So we left our house to come to his house. I shared with Pastor that we were few in number this morning. He said, I'm used to having few in number. So he said, I'm in a good space. Before I introduce our visitors, and I'm going to come back to you, Reverend Derek, so that you can introduce and do your thing for us. But before I do this, I want to share with you how honored I am as moderator that Reverend Courtney Meadows, who could not be here with us today, saw fit to send us someone to share the message with us today. And in sending us this someone to send us the message today, his text to me said, didn't tell me anything about Alabama State University. He didn't even go there. He said, I'm sending you someone, and I know that this person has a young wife. So I said, okay, that person's young. And he said that this person is a mirror of himself, so no pressure on you today for bringing the word because Reverend Meadows sent you here. But we delight in your presence, and when you get up again, you will do your introduction. Are there others visiting with us today? If you are visiting with us, have not been here in a while, I want you to stand and be acknowledged. Georgia, I noticed that you snuck in back there without Roosevelt, and that's a good thing. It's good to see you. Good to see you. Are there others visiting with us today? We're one big happy family this morning, and I said something earlier, and I'm going to allude to it right now. For all of you who have been attending church with us, coming almost every Sunday, you're not members of this church, but you're friends of this church. We now consider you honorary members until you get up and join. But we want you to know there's no pressure on you either. We just delight in your presence today. Now, just a couple of things, and Mrs. Urban, we'll get to you in a minute as well. Reverend Meadows will be back with us again on next Sunday. It is the fifth Sunday. He wanted me to share that with you, that he will be back with us on the fifth Sunday. I have been sending out the roster because we're trying to clean it up and correct everything. I know you're excited about getting a directory that we have not had in a couple of years, and I'm impressed that you all are sending me your new photos to put in the directory. But we're a little bit down the road from getting to the new directory because we're also going to take new photos to put in our new directory. Right now, I'm cleaning the directory up, so this is what I need from you today, no later than Friday. If you change your email address, which you changed like the weather, please send me your new email address. If anything else has changed with you, be it your home, telephone numbers, whatever, your birthday didn't change. Thank God that stays constant. But send me any and everything that you need so that we can continue. And I'm working with the church clerk so that we can clean up our directory and get ready for a new year. It is a new year. So I'm just going to look at you right now and know that you're going to do it. And so let us all say amen. All right, now, I'm actually finished for today, but I want to share this with you all. I want you all to continue to wash your hands, continue to be careful. We're not out of this yet, and it's going to be a minute before we get out of this. So I want you to pray for Montgomery Public Schools as they try to return this week. Don't know how long they're going to be able to stay. But as they try to go back, I want you to think about the bus drivers, the teachers, the principals, everybody associated with Montgomery Public Schools. Kim, I want you to know that we're praying for your whole clan, everybody. And you take that back to them, that they have prayers surrounding them. Having said that, I want all of you to have a wonderful week. I look forward to seeing you back here next Sunday morning, and get your praise on today. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. It's always great to see all of you all. And thank God that the weather didn't freeze you to the point that you were unable to move this morning. I tell you, moving from under the covers to the outside, it's tempting. It's tempting. But I know because your heart was in the right place and it was warm that's what brought you out today. And we do pray for those that are unable to come out for various reasons, particularly for sickness. But it's that time of our worship where we pause just a moment to give back a small portion of that which God has given us. And for the month of January, I promise you that I was going to try to give you little tidbits about tithing and offering. So that tidbit today is going to come from Deuteronomy 16, verses 16b through 17. And it says, they shall not appear, and let's go back and make it more personal. You shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. All should give as they are able, according to the blessing of the Lord to them. So that is my word today. Don't appear to God empty-handed, because we are not empty-handed. But give accordingly. And with that said, let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come this morning. We give you thanks once again for giving us the opportunity to present just a small portion of that which you've given us. You trust us with all. And now we're asking you that we trust you with just a little. And we know that you're going to take this little and magnify it, that you're going to grow it, and that you're going to make it instrumental for building up your kingdom on this earth as it is in heaven. We thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And the box is right here. Oh, if you don't want to walk, raise your hand later on and I'll give it to you, or to the ushers back there. Thank you.
good.
He's been good to me.
Oh, I love him, 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 I love him.
He has set me free.
God's been good.
He's been good.
He's been good.
From Montgomery, Alabama, but what I have a practice of, if the Lord has been good to you, it should be some evidence, amen? And so if the Lord woke you up this morning, I dare you to give him praise. If the Lord started you on your way, I dare you to give him praise. If the Lord fixed all of your troubles, I dare you to give him praise. See, part of the thing that we do here at church, we worship God just for being good. We worship God just for being God. But the other part is we worship him for making a way. We worship him for starting us on a brand new journey. We worship him for picking us up and placing our feet on solid ground. We worship him just for being good. We worship him just for being God. And so if you don't have anything to worship God for, look at your neighbor and say, I got your back. I'll worship God for you. Psalm 34:3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. That lets you know that it's a tag team thing. And when one quiet, the other one can praise. While one praising, the other one can pray. Amen. I bring you greetings this morning from the Rosa Parks Avenue Church of God, where Reverend Dr. James Irvin Marshall is the senior pastor. He is my mentor, my father in ministry, and everything that I know about ministry, I learned from him at the beginning. Amen. Amen. Also, to this dynamic male choir, listen, I almost grabbed a mic and tried to sing with y'all, but y'all would have kicked me out. Y'all would have kicked me out. Reverend Courtney Meadows can hold the tune. I lose the tune. Amen. Amen. He holds it. I lose it. And so we give God praise for this opportunity to be before you all. I count it not a privilege. Every time I stand before God's people, I count it as an honor because I don't have to be here. God didn't have to choose me. And so I'm grateful to be here with each and every one of you. Some I know, I see some hornet masks in the crowd and in the pews. And so you know what that means. Whenever you see an ASU mask, you know you at home. Amen. Amen. And if you went somewhere else, God bless you. But we know what represents, what's represented on 915 South Jackson Street. We know. To my lovely, beautiful wife, the Reverend Rhema Joy Irvin, she is my best friend. She is my get-right partner. Whenever I'm wrong, she gets me right. Whenever I'm off track, she pulls me back on track. And whenever I'm doing too much, she just gives me the eye like, hey, come on now. And so I'm grateful to be married to her. Really quickly, when we met in Columbia, Maryland, she was a bully. She bullied me. We worked together, and she thought that she was my boss. And I told her, I work for your father. I don't work for you. And she was like, well, I've been here longer, so you work for me too. And I'm like, so it was just a lot of confusion. But the Lord has a way of making all things beautiful. Amen. And so December of this year will be 3 years. And so we are anticipating great things this year. We're grateful for what God has brought us through and what God will continue to take us to. Amen. We don't have any kids yet, but we are planning. Amen. And so as currently we are the parents of a doggy girl. Her name is Nyla, and she, Lady Nyla, and she runs me crazy. So With all that being said, again, I count it as an honor to stand before you all. So if you would, really quickly, I understand Reverend Meadows told me that. He said, don't go long. They're in church for an hour. They get in and they get out. And so I said, Reverend, you can't say that now. You can't tell me. I'm just playing, no. I said, I feel like holding us to 3 o'clock. The Lord told me. No, I'm just playing. No. If you would, with me, for just a brief moment, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4. The Gospel of John chapter 4. It's a pretty lengthy text, but I'm just going to read the first 10 verses to you very briefly. And it says, when you found it, you can say amen. I don't want to leave anybody behind. Amen. I hear pages turning, so I'm going to wait. All right, I count it as we're all there. John chapter 4 reads, now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Let's pray. God, we ask that you open our eyes to the text, Father. We ask that you open our hearts to the message. And God, we ask that you open our lives, that we can pour this down deep in our souls, that it can germinate over the time. And that as we continue to run this race called life, God, that we can run it a little stronger, a little better, and a little more like Jesus, day in and day out. Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the current state of where our country is this morning, I believe that we are in need of a thirst quencher. We need something to keep us when the world all around us is falling apart. We are in the middle of a pandemic still, and we are fighting for civil and social justice for black and brown and minority people. I don't know about you, but if it ain't been one thing lately, it's been another. And to be quite honest, it's been too much. My grandmother would say, I'm so glad trouble doesn't last always. And those who put their trust in the Lord will make it to those who put their hope in the Lord. Well, the Lord will continue to make a way out of no way for them. I know how it looks and I understand how it feels in the world that we're living in today, but I still believe God. I still believe the God of my ancestors. I believe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I still believe the God that my grandmother would stay up all night praying to, and somehow when she woke up the very next morning, every little thing would have been worked out. I still believe God is good, and there ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Let me encourage you this morning. The text that we find this morning, we see a Samaritan woman in a moment with Jesus. As I stand here this morning, I'm grateful that God has allowed me to make it to this very moment in life. I can't begin to even explain all that God has done for me and my wife over the past 2.5 years. Life, my brothers and sisters, can leave us in some quenchless situations. Regardless of your status quo in life, We all need a thirst quencher. The job you wanted didn't come through. The house, the car, the school, the career, the girlfriend or the boyfriend, the husband or the wife, whatever or whoever it is, it didn't happen the way you wanted it to. And you're left in a situation thirstier than you were before. If I could this morning talk to you from the brief, from the subject of I'm thirsty. I understand that the current civil unrest that we are experiencing in America is leaving us in moments of disaster, doubt, and distress. And we need something to hold us right down through here. We need something that will keep us through this. And what it is you ask me, my answer is Jesus. 3 points of evidence that lets you know that we're thirsty this morning. The text reveals to us a supplier. It reveals to us a supplication, and it reveals to us supplicators. Let's deal with the first point this morning. It reveals a supplier. When a Samaritan woman had came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone to the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her and said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father, Jacob, who has given us the well to drink from itself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." My brothers and sisters, this morning, in order for something to have a consistent flow, it must have some type of consistent supply. In order for your car to consistently run, you must consistently supply it with gas and proper maintenance. In order for our bodies to live, we must supply it with water and proper nutrients and rest. In the same manner, in order for our spiritual lives to manifest into what God desires for our lives, we must supply it with the proper amount of Jesus. And you ask me this morning, what is the proper amount of Jesus? My answer is never too much. I hear you clearly saying that what is the cutoff of the proper amount? Well, let me join the voice of the artist Luther Vandross when he wrote the song in the year of 1981 entitled "Never Too Much." Because the truth of the matter is we can never get too much of Jesus. Regardless of where we come from or regardless of where we are this morning, you can run this race as best as you try. But if you run it without Jesus, you're going to eventually get on an empty tank. And what Jesus was trying to convey to this Samaritan woman is that, listen, you're drinking from this well and you're going to come back to this very same spot tomorrow at the very same time to get more water. But if you drink from me, I can fill you up for today, tomorrow, next week, the week after, and for the rest of your life. And the Samaritan woman couldn't understand. But the text revealed that there's a supplier. Historically, women in that village came to fill up buckets of water to take back to their village. They historically carried 2 buckets at a time. They are known to go fetch water typically around the 6th hour, which would make it in the middle of the day and the haste of heat. Therefore, we know the woman had some grit about herself. Gentiles and Jews didn't mix, so the woman really had no business talking to Jesus. But Jesus is typically known for breaking every social and ethnic barrier you could ever put in place. Can I get an amen? Amen. The text reveals a few things about this woman, and it doesn't go into details about her, but if we can just add to the text, if we can just do a little more Bible study this morning. She was a Samaritan woman. She went to the well at the 6th hour, the middle of the day. It's about 80 degrees in Samaria around this time. How many of you will continue to go to the well day after day looking for something that you quite hadn't found just yet? I'm thirsty. Not only does it render, it reveals a supplier, but it also renders a supplication. Because after this woman realized the statement that Jesus said to her, if you knew who you was talking to, you would ask me for water and I could give you living water and you'd never thirst again. And with that being said, she began to think, who is this man? So she made a supplication. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw. In verse 15, he told her, go call your husband and come back. She said, I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you are with now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worship on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said, woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are a kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshiper must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he explained everything to us. She still wasn't getting it. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Just then, his disciples returned, surprised to find him talking with the woman. But no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking to her? After the woman had came to the realization of who Jesus is, she then made a supplication. This is probably my favorite piece of the story because it gives meat to the bones of this woman's identity. She has been searching for something in men that she has just not found quite yet. She was looking high and low for love in all of the wrong places. But one day she met a man named Jesus, just like me and you, and her life changed forever. She had tried physically being with men five or six times, and none of them quenched her thirst. I'm thirsty. But Jesus knew that, and he still counseled her at the well. How thirsty can one be even after five or six times you're still trying to make something out of nothing? What kind of wherewithal does a person need to have to be able to be treated as a side piece and still try and receive the benefits of the main squeeze? I like this part of the story because this helps us today. How many times have we contemplated with the world to try and find something that quenches our thirst? Regardless of the specifications of your taste bud, thirsty is thirsty, and we can all use a drink. We vote the right people this way, and trouble comes another way. I'm thirsty. We convict this law officer for unlawfully killing a black or brown minority child or adult, and then 2 weeks later, it's happening all over again. I'm thirsty. We take 12 steps forward to take 24 steps backwards. I'm thirsty. We fight the good fight of faith, family, and justice for all people just to be slapped in the face by backdoor politicians who refuse to admit that their wrongdoings and their shortcomings continue to fail society. I'm thirsty. This woman had been down and out for so long, but one day she met Jesus and she decided to give him a try. Not only does the text reveal a supplier, not only does the text reveal that the woman made a supplication, it also renders, it reveals a supplier, it renders a supplication, but it relies on supplicators. Then leaving her water jar, the woman came and went back to town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? How many folks have you told, come see a man? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. In order for Jesus' name to continue to reign, his works to continuously, and his works to continuously prove that he is who he said he is, we must rely on supplicators. In verse 29, she says, come see a man. And she continued to tell everybody that she met, Jesus changed my life and he can do the same thing for you. I know you're struggling with the thought of why should we rely on supplicators? Here's the answer. Whenever you find something as good and priceless as Jesus Christ, you need to share it with everybody you know. Even in the midst of all of this chaos and confusion that we are experiencing in this thing called life, we need to be talking more about Jesus and talking less about stuff. Let me help you. Substance is the only thing that will keep you. Stuff will continue to confuse you. If you can share a sale that's happening at Dillard's, Nordstrom, Foot Locker, Target, and Wegmans with your Facebook friends and everybody you know, you can share with them about Jesus. The Samaritan woman realized that meeting Jesus and allowing him to quench her thirst brings to revelation that not only can and did he do it for her, but he can and will do it for everybody else. Regardless of what you try to drink from and find a fresh quench in, nothing beats Jesus. Ask me how I know. Here it is, this woman had some wayward ways, and Jesus changed her whole life. This woman had been with 5 and 6 men, and they still didn't make her their wives. But she kept showing up. She kept showing up to get quenched by stuff that was never intended to quench her thirst. But she kept showing up. And after a while, after you keep showing up, you eventually run into Jesus. And the reason we need supplicators is because we can't afford to take it for granted that people will keep showing up. Life can sometimes knock you down and you don't want to get back up tomorrow. So the reason we cannot continue to talk about stuff, and the reason we have to stop talking about stuff and start talking more about Jesus is because people need their thirst quenched. I would argue that even after the first man, she kept searching. Even after the second man, regardless of her confidence, she kept searching. I would argue, and I would even agree, after the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth man, she kept showing up. Because I believe that she knew one day something was going to have to give, and she refused to let her failures and shortcomings and sin stop her from getting her thirstiness quenched. You need to understand this morning that no matter how many times it takes you, don't lose your thirst. Regardless of the problem, if the problem never gets fixed, don't lose your thirst. No matter how bad things may look right now, don't lose your thirst. But instead, be like the psalmist and say, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. The pain, Christ is able to quench that. I'm thirsty. The addictions of all kinds, Christ is able to quench that. I'm thirsty. The divorce, he can quench that. I'm thirsty. The disease, aka COVID, he can quench that. I'm thirsty. The molestation, fornication, adultery, rape, he can quench that. I'm thirsty. The outside children, he can quench that. I'm thirsty. The identity issues, he can quench that too. I'm thirsty. The homelessness, he can quench that. The loss of a job and the job promotion, he can quench them at the same time. I'm thirsty. The wayward lifestyle, multiple partners like this Samaritan woman, he can quench that. I'm thirsty. The public shame, he can quench that too. I'm thirsty. The social and civil unrest and unjust, he can quench that. I'm thirsty. Whatever it is that you're looking for in life, Jesus can quench that. But my question to you, how thirsty are you? Because what this Samaritan woman helps us, popularity, propaganda, and status quo has to go out the window. Because when you're thirsty, Whoever got a drink, you want that drink. Back in the day, I'm about to tell my age. But back in the day, I'm 27. Back in the day, 27 not a long time. Hold on now, wait a minute. I got some stories to tell. Wait a minute, I'm thirsty. Back in the day, my grandfather would come get me during the summertime. And he had a way of making me work to rake yards, cut grass, chop wood in the summertime, y'all. Just like this Samaritan woman, she had to go get water for her village during the summertime. And my grandfather would have a red, I don't even know the brand name of it, but it was a red cooler on the back of his truck with a white top. And I knew that after we got done working, however thirsty I was, what was in that cooler would quench my thirst. But my grandfather had a way of saying, you don't drink until you're done. You don't stop and take multiple breaks. You keep going until the job is done, and then you take a water break or a Gatorade break. And this morning, I want to inform you that that's not how Jesus operates. You don't have to continue to run, and then drink. Every day you wake up, you can take a drink. Every night you go to sleep, you can take a drink. Every move you make, every opportunity you take, Christ is there to take a drink. You know how I know? Because he told this woman, listen, if you drink from me, you'll never thirst again. And he wasn't talking about a physical thirst. He was talking about a spiritual thirst. That as you run this race called life, you're going to hit some roadblocks, but I'm there. You're going to hit some valley experiences, but I'm there. And one thing that my grandfather did teach me in raking and doing all of this yard work is that after a while, your body will adjust to getting worked. Your muscles will adjust to chopping wood. Your shoulders will adjust to raking brother such and such yard, sister such and such yard. And you will realize that one drink in the morning can carry you a long way. Okay, maybe that didn't help you. I'm going to say it again. One drink in the morning could carry you a long way. I'm thirsty. But this woman realized that this thirst is not just good enough for me. I have to share it with everybody I know. I see a few young people in the crowds, and I'm going to let you know something, young people. I would challenge you to use the strength of your youth to serve the Lord. I'm 27, and I've been in church, and I'm not saying this to brag at all, but I've been in church. I probably missed 10 Sundays since the age of 12 because I realized that something, I was looking for something in all the wrong places, but when I found it in the house of the Lord, I never looked back. Yes, I've had trials. Yes, I've had tribulations, but the Lord has been there every step of the way because I've remained thirsty. No matter your age, no matter your status quo, no matter your position or place, all that has to go out of the window when you're thirsty. And you can't afford to let yesterday's drink quench today's thirst. Every morning you wake up, you must choose Jesus. Every night you go to sleep, you must choose Jesus. Every step of the way, you must choose Jesus. And this woman realized that, stay right here, Jesus. I'm going to go get everybody I know that will listen to me. I'm going to bring them back to you. Because this ain't just for me, but this is for everybody. Half of the quenching situations that you are experiencing in life is not for you. It's for somebody else. Amen. I'm thirsty. This woman realized that I can't just let this go by. The men that I dealt with, I'm going to go get them too, because clearly they thirsty as well. The village I'm from, I'm going to go get them too, because clearly they're thirsty as well. the psalmist said that my feet almost slipped, lest I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What would have happened if that woman didn't show up the next day at the well? Who knows? But I'm so glad she decided to give it one more try. And I don't know who this message is here for this morning, but I want to say this to you. Don't leave here the same way you came. Don't leave here right now, this moment, the same way you came. If you're looking for something, let Jesus quench it. But I ask you this, how thirsty are you? Because it takes a certain amount of thirst to step out on faith and stand before God's people. To say that I used to do this, I used to do that, but now I want to turn this thing over. The psalmist said, I am 27, but I was raised on hymns. There's a hymn that says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus. Yourself in a Samaritan woman situation, surrender all to Jesus. Let him quench your thirst. And I promise you, life will take you through some dry places, but you'll never thirst again. Life will take you through some deserts, but you'll never thirst again. Life will take you through mountains and through valleys, but you will never thirst again. Don't run the same way you've been running. Don't give Jesus a try. Don't give Jesus a shot. Let him do it. Give him your all. I surrender all because I'm thirsty. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this day. And Father, we ask that you would continue to lead, guide, and direct us daily as we run this race called life. Father, continue to help those who are looking for a quencher in all the wrong places. But God, help us to live a life that can render other supplicators, that can bring other people into your flock. Father, continue to let us run this race called life, that we can be ever more faithful to you and to everyone around us. God, we give you praise this morning. And we ask that we never lose our thirst for you. In your precious son, Jesus' name, we ask all these blessings. And all God's children say, amen.
Amen.
Amen.